This podcast is a part of the Newhoff Media Podcast Network.
Back here on a Friday, good morning, the last Friday of September. Next Friday, the 19th annual WSOY Community Food Drive. Make sure you have it on your calendar. You can go to Natticator.com for all the details. We are joined each and every day by Mayor Julie Moore Wolf, a resident, male in his 80s, passed away yesterday. I know we haven't done this every day, and I was gone for a couple of weeks, but it is important to note when people have died and not just count them as numbers.
Yeah, that's absolutely true, Brian. And unfortunately, we have seen a large number of deaths in the past 3 weeks. I mean, it's like we were, I don't want to call it steady, but it wasn't like a spike. But if you really look at the last 3 weeks, we have seen a significant increase in the number of deaths. There have been some younger people involved, younger being, you know, a man in his 50s, but, you know, a lot of our older population has been hit really hard in the last few weeks.
All right. There's a lot of social media noise about long-term care institutions. Can you share any information or shed any light on what the status of that is?
Yeah, we've had outbreaks or at least significant increases in a couple of our long-term care facilities. You can go to the IDPH website and look up numbers. Now, what I want to caution you about is that shows the number of positives and cases since this began. So you can't just go in and say, well, there are 69 at this facility. That's probably not an accurate number because they may have had two at one point. I believe the state considers it an outbreak if you have two people, whether it's staff or residents at a long-term care facility as an outbreak. But Villa Clara, Decatur, and Evergreen have both had significant increases in their numbers in the past few weeks. And, Brian, I've got to tell you, I'm not feeling good about this. On Friday every week is when the state comes out with its warnings and lays down the law for counties. And we have seen a significant number of hospitalizations. Our numbers are up. Our positivity is up. And our deaths are up. So I am very concerned that we are headed into orange. Now, orange doesn't, as you were talking about earlier, doesn't shut anybody down. But it's kind of the big warning flag that says, folks, you better get it together.
All right. And if that happens today, as some of us have been expecting, just based on talking to folks in Springfield and with the state, what kind of timeline are we on between the next phase or turning things around or people getting the message? You know, what happens after orange?
You know, that's a really, really good question, and that's probably better served by Randy Binkley at the health department. If you are in orange, what's really scary is you can go to the next level. The next level is what they did in Will and Kankakee counties or in Metro East, where they stopped letting you serve as many people, like we can do, you know, 50% capacity inside our restaurants right now. They can take it down to 25%. They can shut you down. And what we can't afford for our businesses to have any less business opportunity than they do right now. And we can't go there. Now, what I will say is some of this is a little bit out of control because if we are getting this based on primarily, you have to have two like negative factors going on. So if it's our positivity rate, if it is also our long-term care facilities and deaths, we really don't have a lot of control as citizens about what happens in our long-term care facilities. Most of them have been pretty much locked down. So the only people going in and out are staff. So we've got to make sure that those staff members are not carrying this virus. And on the other hand, the rest of us have to do everything we can to keep the rest of our numbers down. And, you know, Brian, it's really easy when you go out, you're wearing your mask, you get to your destination, and maybe you're at a friend's house. Well, you're all friends, so they probably don't have it, huh? So we can take our masks off. I've done it. I'll be the first one to tell you, I've done it. You get inside, and you're like, well, we're all okay. We all know each other. That doesn't matter. Just because we know each other doesn't mean one of us isn't carrying it. So, I mean, there...
I understand about the long-term care facilities, but if you follow the numbers every day the way I do and you get the reports every day, the largest groups are still age 10 to 59. I mean, those are where the biggest increases day in and day out. It's not the 70, 80, 90-year-olds. Your point to staff, I think, is an excellent one because I don't know how it's getting into these long-term care facilities other than that.
Well, and we don't know where staff is getting it. Maybe they've got kids that are actually attending a school that is in session in person. and they get it from somebody else, bring it home to mom. Mom works at a long-term care facility, doesn't realize she's asymptomatic, that she's a carrier. Now, we're screening people. The facilities are screening their staff as they come in for fevers. But, you know, you can be asymptomatic and still be carrying it. So it's just, it's a really nervous time. But we've got to take this extremely seriously.
What do we do for the 20 to 29-year-olds? They are far and away, and I mean it's not even close, the largest category of positive tests.
You know, Brian, that is an excellent question. I don't know if we need to change our marketing strategy. I mean, some of it, I think the campaign that the state is putting on is pretty good. You know, it's saying, you know, you've got people on TV and on digitally, you know, saying, when, you know, I know you're just going a short ways, but you still put me in a seatbelt. You know, would you let your kid not be in a seatbelt in the back seat or a car seat? No, you wouldn't do that. So you've got to take precautions. Wear a mask. Yeah, it's uncomfortable to wear, you know, a life jacket. If you're water skiing, you need to wear one. You know, it's just, it's a new lifestyle for us. Nobody really loves it, but it's just something we better get used to.
All right. I know you're going to be out of town today, but I still think we're going to hear an announcement. We'll see, I guess, what happens over the next 24 hours. As you mentioned earlier, Friday is usually the day when these proclamations come forth from the state government. And we'll follow up with the health department on what happens next, if, in fact, that is the case. We've got to keep these businesses open. There were a couple of ribbon cuttings yesterday. I know you were there. That's a good thing. We want to celebrate these businesses. But at this point,
it was so good to see people out and happy about something.
Yeah.
You know?
But the only way we're going to keep that is if you are one of these naysayers and you just think it's a gigantic pain in the rear end for the gin mill, for Brinkott, for all of these other businesses that are doing everything they can to keep their doors open and stay open. You just have to do this whether you like it or not.
Brian, we cannot get out of what COVID has done to us economically if we can't have our small businesses open, up, and running. And if we can't wear masks to make that happen, it's going to hurt us all financially in the long run, not just those businesses, because we still have to provide services. We have to provide police and fire protection. You know, we have to have roads and water. And, you know, we can't do it on nothing. And most of that comes because people are employed at businesses. They're paying taxes. We're all eating out and buying, you know, retail locally. We need to keep them open so we can all do that to get through this.
All right, Mayor. Safe trip. And we'll talk to you Monday morning. Mayor Julie Moore Wolf.
You've been listening to the Newhoff Media Podcast Network. For more, visit newhoffmedia.com.